Able to see a background of Romans. You're able to see that these were the church that was started possibly by believers and people who had moved from Jerusalem. Remember, the Bible says that when the believers were scattered after the persecution, they went everywhere they went preaching the gospel. And Rome, being the capital of the world at that time, remember, Rome had conquered everyone, so they were the center, and there were paved roads. People were able to access Rome. The whole Roman Empire was reachable. The Romans allowed people to practice their religion. Caesar was Lord. But then, what we can see, there was a church that was established in Rome, and Paul desires to see them. And he writes this letter to them as a defense to the gospel. And one of the things that you will see about Paul is that even it's a common characteristic of his epistles, is that one, he will give a background. He will start with a greeting, introduction, and then he will do a teaching. That means he will provide a doctrine. And then after he does the doctrine, then he will teach, application, and where you'll see he'll teach behavior. He will teach, now live according to the light, now live according to love, now do this, therefore. Now, actually, that's where you see therefore, since, and you will see it in Romans chapter 12, therefore, in view of God's mercies. So up to chapter, 11, he's been giving doctrine, but then now he tells us, in view of God's mercies, now offer, to live your lives as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. So what we'll be seeing in the Romans, it will be a defense of the faith, and I think it is one of the greatest aspects where the faith of Christianity is defended, and this is why we will be studying the book of Romans, and by that we will understand. So today we are in Romans chapter 1, and we are in verse 8. Okay, we'll start from verse 7. And then it says that to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can see he's writing to those in Rome and to the saints and to the church. And then he says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, that all your faith is spoken of throughout the world. For God is my witness, with whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established. That is, I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me. Now, I want to stop there for now, and then you can see Paul, and this is something that we see about the content of Paul's prayer. And remember, we've been, there are few areas where we see the content of Paul's prayer. But one of the things that is constant about Paul is that he prayed for the churches. He prayed for the churches all over the world. He prayed for the churches which he had reached, which he had planted. He also prayed for the churches which even he did not have contact with. And you can see here he's praying to the church and praying for the church. And he says he always thanks God for, thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you, that your faith, that means the Romans, the Christian church in Rome was strong. And you can see he says that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. That means that they had a reputation, they were strong in faith, they had grown, in their obedience that comes from faith. And this is something that was standing out, and he gives them that charge. He tells them, we thank God. Yes, I know you are the capital city. Yes, I know you are a strong military nation. Yes, I know you could trust in your own power, But what I can also say about you is that I've heard of your faith and I thank God for it. And he says that because of this, I thank God for your faith. And he says that God is my witness that I make mention of you always. Can you imagine that consistency that every day, every time he prays for the churches. And remember, Paul used to pray for us, make mention of prayers that God will give us a door of utterance. That means that God will give an opportunity for me to join you. And you can see even as he's saying, his desire is actually to reach that church. His desire is to go to them. Yes, they're strong in faith. But you see, because he is an apostle, we can see that he desires to go and impart unto them a spiritual gift that they may be established. That means that he recognizes that, yes, they have put their faith in God. They have believed in God. But you see, even in the gospel, you know, there is a simplicity, but then also beyond the simplicity, there is what God adds. You know, there is what is more complex about it. There are things that are beyond the basics. So he can see, he says that, I long to see you that I may impart some spiritual gift. And you see, this is what you see about when God gives apostles, or when you give prophets, you know, when he gives the leadership of the church, when he gave the, you know, the gifts of men to the church, it is for the equipping of the body. And you can see, so his desire is that when he meets them, he'll be able to impart unto them some spiritual gift that they may be established. So you can see that, remember, even, I mean, when you think of the Old Testament, you remember that they were told, believe in the Lord your God and you shall prosper. Believe in his prophets and you shall be established. And you can see likewise also, you see here in the New Testament, God has given us the apostles, God has given us the prophets to impart in us spiritual gifts, to impart in us things that will help us to be established. And you see, establishment is important because in our faith, we need to make every effort to add to your faith. Remember, think of the word says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to add to your faith, you know, courage, perseverance, all these things. And if we grow in them, we will be productive and we'll be lacking nothing. So establishment comes from that. And then he also says that he may be comforted by the mutual faith of both you and me. And you see, that's the beauty of the gospel, that even though, yes, we have the leaders, but they too are edified by the ministry, by the congregation. It's less like, I mean, like at times we think it is only the congregation that is blessed, but even the leaders are blessed. And you can see that they may even, that we may be comforted together by the mutual faith, both of you and me. And then now verse 13, he says, now I will not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I have purposed to come unto you, but was not let, that I might have some fruit among you, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor to both the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, what is Paul telling the church? He's telling them that, yes, I really desire to come to see you, but I've not been hindered. But maybe I was delayed because when I come, I will bear fruit among you, because the fruit I have seen among the nations, also I believe by the grace of God, I'll be able to see and to bear among you. And Paul tells them now of his call. And this is what he believes is his call. He says, I am a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And you can think, and there's a reason why, you know, the Greeks would believe, or rather, to the Greeks, any other language will sound as bar, bar, bar. And I think that's why to them they were like, it was like blabbering, blabbing. So they will consider them barbarians. But basically, when you speak to the Jews, both the Greeks and the Gentile and other tribes were all Gentiles, but the Greeks considered other languages barbarians, or maybe those people who were not schooled. But you see, and the Greeks considered themselves wise, and they considered the others unwise. But all these people, Paul is saying that he desired to see them, that he might bear fruit. And he tells them that, you know what? Why do I want to preach the gospel? Because I am not ashamed of the gospel. And this is the beauty of the word of God. And Paul knew that he is not ashamed. It is the gospel of Christ. Why? It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. This is what you will call the foundational statement of Paul, and every believer, each and every one of us, must have this firm belief that we cannot be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Yes, there are people who will need to hear the gospel. Yes, there are people who will think of us different. They will change our perception of us. They will say, "Ah, these are two religious people. This I also, you are this kind of religious people. You are these people who are just, some people will think it is backward to believe in Christ, or to believe, to have, put your faith in Christ." But he says it is the power of God unto salvation. No other means has been given for us to be saved. If we are to be saved, if we are to stay saved, the Bible says it is a power of God unto salvation, one, to everyone that believes. Do we believe that Christ died for us, and that when we put our faith in him, he makes us sons of God? Not of our effort, not of our righteousness, not of our ability, because he's saying, "For therein there is a righteousness of God that is revealed from faith to faith." As we put our faith in God, as we put our faith in him, each and every day we grow in the understanding that, you know what, this thing, this salvation thing, if we are to think of ourselves, if we are to look at ourselves, the reality is we will never stand. If we are to count our thoughts, our actions, our whatever we've done or whatever we do, we will never stand, because no one can stand before God. Our righteousness is as any righteousness we work on our own is as filthy rags before God. But there is a righteousness, and this is the power of the gospel. That's why it says there's a power of God unto salvation, that everyone who believes, if we believe, if we continue to believe, if we continue to put our faith in God and have that transformation, that, you know what, for me, I hide myself in Christ. I hide myself in Christ. I depend on God for my righteousness. I depend. It is him that keeps me righteous. It is him that helps me to be righteous. It is him that has forgiven me. It is him that continually forgives me. It is him that cleanses me. It is him that declares me righteous. And that's why the Bible says, "For therein, in this gospel, the power of God unto salvation to everyone." Everyone, just believe. Simply believe. To everyone that believes, this righteousness of God. That's why it says we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are righteous. We are righteous not of our works, that any man may boast, but it is by grace, it is by the mercy of God that is revealed from faith to faith. So as we put our faith in God, God adds another measure of faith. Each and every day as we hear the word of God, each and every day as we come to God to pray, to ask for mercy, as we come to God, as we hear the word of God. Jesus told his disciples, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. As we sit by the word, as we open our Bibles, as we listen to sermons, as we listen to the word, what God does is that he cleanses us. He cleanses us by the word, and we grow from faith to faith. Yes, our faith is at one level today, but as we persistently sit by him, as we persistently, we receive that righteousness that is by faith, that is righteousness of God. I mean, if you think of Abraham, the Bible says Abraham simply believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. God just told him, I will make you a great nation. And these are the things we'll be seeing about this defense of the righteousness that Paul teaches us. Abraham simply believed. Did he make mistakes? Yes. He was impatient. He went on with Sarai, and they got Ishmael. He lied from here and there. Yes, he had his mistakes. But the Bible tells us because he believed God, God made him a friend of God. And he was declared to be righteous. Same for us, because we have put our faith in God. Yes, we can see men have chosen unrighteousness, and this is what we shall be able to tackle from tomorrow. There's a wrath of God that is being revealed against ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men. Why? Because they have rejected God. They have chosen to worship idols. But for us who have said, God, we believe in you, we believe in your son, we put our faith in him, we take on, we clothe ourselves the righteousness of God, not of our own effort, not of our own ability, not of our own filthy rags, but by faith. And that's why Paul says, you know what? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It is the power of God that God has given us as men to be saved. And it said, the just shall live by faith. If we are to stay righteous, if we are to believe in God, if we are to experience grace all around us, it is only by faith. So I'll stop there and thank God for his word, brother. You're welcome.
Thank you for everything.
Yeah, let's thank God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that you remind us that our faith is what that counts. And today, this morning, we ask you to forgive us, O God. Forgive our failures. Forgive our wrongs. Forgive our weaknesses, O God. We thank you for anyone that is listening, anyone that has never put their faith in Christ, that has been trusting on their own righteousness, forgive us, O God, that, Lord, as they ask you to forgive them, and as they ask them to, as they believe in you, that, Lord, you accept them and you put on them the righteousness that is from you. And indeed, I thank you that it is a righteousness that is from faith to faith, and it is a power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And Father, we believe in you and we trust in you, that you are the one that qualifies, and indeed you continue to watch over us. Remember our family members, remember everyone that concerns us, our children. Indeed, watch over them, protect them. Protect our families. Thank you for our work. Go ahead of us. Cover us on the roads. Sustain us in all these things. We look and we trust in you that, Lord, you are more than able to lead, to guide, and to direct us. We honor you, we adore you, and we give you glory. Even as we meet and we shall meet again, may your hand and presence be with us. Remember the church. Establish it for your glory. We honor, we trust in you, and we depend upon you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed morning ahead.